Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
What's happening, everybody? Wait, I have to cough. Excuse me. What's happening, everybody? It's your girl, Cy Brown, coming at you live from New York City, just bringing you another day of urban inspiration, all that good and fun stuff that we talk about every day, just good stuff. How's everybody doing today? Today is Tuesday, August 19th, and, you know, it seems like the weather's starting to cool down here in New York City. I got, I think today it's going up to 85, but then I heard it can go down into, like, the 50s the next couple of nights, which is, that's kind of cool, especially for the New York City area. I don't know, this weather is just, you know, freaky, freaky, freaky. I don't know. As long as I'm waking up every single day and God gives me another chance to get it right, I'm just like, you know what, I'm all for it. When I wake up in the morning and I realize that I'm awake, I open my eye and I'm like, oh, my God. He gave me another chance to get it right. And I really do feel that way. I really do feel like, hey, I got another chance to get it right. So I'm just grateful, thankful, appreciative, happy, and all that good stuff that I get another chance every single day to do it right, and that you all, every single one of my listeners, invite me into your space. You allow me to come into your world. I just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Yesterday, we had an amazing show. Dee Dee was with us. We had my friend Annette. She's an entrepreneur and has a business, Prepaid Legal, and she's based down in the Washington, D.C. area, and Dee Dee was monitoring the chat room, and it was busy, busy, busy. So if anybody has a chance to listen to the archive from yesterday's show, I was shouting out everybody who was hitting us up in the chat room. Today we have another great show. You know what? I just want to say to you, our team puts a lot of effort together every single day to make sure we bring you good, great, dynamic, and powerful shows every single day. And we've got Magina McRae joining us a little bit later in the broadcast. So I'm excited to speak with her, and you'll find out who she is and all of the yummy things that she does on a regular basis. And we're all going to support her, big up her, celebrate her as a businesswoman, business owner. And if anybody out there has a business that they want us to talk about on the air, let me know. Holler, you know, sb@cybrown.com. And if you're interested in being a guest on the show, send us an email to bookings@liferemixedradio.com. And Shamika, who is the show's producer, will definitely get back in touch with you. Just want to let you know the chat room is now open. And for those of you who want to call in and speak with Miss Regina, our line, our studio line is 347-633-9113. And as always, this show is available through iTunes as a podcast. So if you want to listen to it later, download it. We welcome that. Hit us up on MySpace, myspace.com/LifeRemixRadio. And, you know, just join us every day. Just join us, join us, join us. And if anybody's ever in the New York City area, let me know, because I want to meet my listeners. You know, maybe we'll have a listener party or something, just where I can see everybody, because, you know, I'm here, I'm out and about. Dee Dee has me attending a whole bunch of stuff in New York. I don't even know where she has me half the time. But she'll send me an email, Saida, go here, Saida, go there. So I just go wherever Dee Dee says to go. So, again, if anybody's ever in the New York City area, hit me up. Maybe I can take you to some really fun eateries in and around. One of my favorite restaurants is the Pink Teacup, and it is a soul food place down in the Village. And their soul food is so yummy, and their food is so inexpensive. I mean, you can get, I get turkey. My husband doesn't eat pork, so he gets the chicken, the baked chicken. My older son gets the pork chops. And you can get soup, salad, an entree, and a drink for like $10, which in New York City is unheard of, and the food is really, really good. So if any of my listeners are ever in this area, drop by, and I'll take you to some of my fun places. Oh, another fun place is the Caliente Cab Company, and that's on 7th Avenue South in the Village. I love Mexican food, and the Caliente Cab Company is one of my favorite fun places to eat in the city. So just hit me up. we'll do some, you know, some sightseeing in the New York City area. So if you're coming, family reunion, on a business trip, just say, Sai, I'm coming to New York City, and I got you. So that's the fun stuff for today. Also, has anybody subscribed to dictionary.com? Remember I was saying we all kind of need to brush up on our vocabulary and all of that good stuff. So if anybody's really still subscribing to dictionary.com, please let me know. Keep me posted so I can share it. I'm subscribing and I still get my word of the day, so I encourage everybody to do the same. And to all of those, before we get into the daily thoughts from the Hill, to everybody last week who I said I was going to watch Akilah the Bee, I have not seen it yet. I know. I'm going to watch the movie. Maybe this week I'll get a chance to watch Akilah the Bee. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet, so I've got to go to Blockbuster. I have HBO On Demand, and it's not on HBO On Demand, but I will watch that movie because I do believe we have to balance that out with my affinity for the movie Soul Plane, which, you know, I just thought was a stupid movie, but it was fun to watch. So I'm going to jump right into today's Daily Thought from the Hill, and then we're going to jump right into our guest, Miss Regina McCrae, and we'll find out who she is and all of the stuff that she is up to, and you are just in for such a treat. Y'all know I have the coolest guest on the show, but today's Daily Thought from the Hill is, Thy will be done. Do you know that abundance is your inheritance? Do you know that you can never be deprived of your supply from the storehouse of good? Be mindful that as you tithe, you prosper. Allow the will of God to operate in all areas of your life. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom of harmony and abundance. Use these keys to open the truth. Heaven is within. Abundance is God's good will for your life. Always expect the best that life has to offer. Willingly accept your inheritance as a child of the great giver of gifts. See abundance everywhere. Praise God for abundant blessings and the fruits of the Spirit that manifest continuously. All of the people I meet today receive abundant blessings as I radiate God's love and goodwill. Through the presence and power of God's will in all of my affairs, I experience success, prosperity, and abundance. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 149, verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He has given salvation to the poor. Well, you know what? That's definitely a good message. And you know something? I say this all the time. I never read these ahead of time, but this whole show, Life Remix, is about experience success in every area of your life because I truly believe that you can experience success. I don't think you can ever achieve success because there's no stopping point. If we're all believers and we all believe in what God has for us, then it's infinite. So just success is kind of perpetual happiness and perpetual bliss. So this just kind of validates everything that I say every day. I do believe, I honestly believe that you can experience success in every area of your life, in your finances, in your marriage, in your love life, in your relationships, in your business, because it's all relative. If you think about it, if your business makes $5 today and $10 tomorrow and $5,000 next week, you're successful. Even if you're not making any money today, are you still running your business? That's success. So I just think it's all relative. It's how you look at it. And y'all know I'm a believer. I love the Lord with everything. I mean, I wake up and I do what I do every single day because of God's grace and mercy. And because of that, I'm grateful. And in my gratitude, I believe I am successful in every single thing I do. And I am honored to meet every single person that comes on my show, to just have these conversations, and to be able to do what I absolutely love every single day for a living. So I guess that's me on my soapbox for a second. just a quick programming note. Let me share this with you. If anybody is interested in making motivational speaking their day job, log on to PlatinumSpeakersBureau.com for all of the information. Tonight, I am hosting another teleseminar on how to make motivational speaking your day job. So y'all know that's my day job. I kind of talk and write books and stuff, and Life Remix Radio is just kind of a sidebar to that. But I am hosting a free teleseminar tonight. So just if you're interested or you know someone, just have them log on to PlatinumSpeakersBureau.com. And on that note, just a whole business note and the business tip, I am going to bring in our wonderful guest, Miss Regina McCray. Regina, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you today?
Blessed beyond measure.
Well, you've come to the right show talking like that, darling. You have definitely come to the Correctamundo show because that's what we believe here. Well, I just want to share with everybody who's listening. Oh, let me just give a quick shout-out to Dropping Seed Radio, who is joining us in the chat room, as he always does. Dropping Seed Radio broadcasts his show live from Tennessee every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. So I want to just big up and thanks for joining us in the chat room. Guest 210, thank you for joining us in the chat room. Whoever you are, thank you for listening. But Regina, would you like to share with our guests who you are?
I am founder and owner of my own business, Grandma's Secrets. And Grandma's Secrets just happens to be New York's only dessert delivery company. This is my 15th year in business, and no one has been bold enough to take up the challenge. And so I still am the only company in New York City that will deliver a peach cobbler to your doorstep. And so I made a niche for myself, and I'm working it out.
Well, you know my philosophy. My philosophy is find a niche and make yourself rich. And it sounds kind of harsh, but, you know.
It's cute.
It's the truth. I tell that to my speakers all the time. Find a niche and make yourself rich. Because once you find, or, you know, as I say to my young people, stay in your lane. Find what your lane is and rock your lane. I mean, stay in your lane and work your lane better than anybody else. And I think you'll be fine.
Because you have to, business is so competitive, you have to have an edge. So you have to do something that either no one else is doing or do something that a few other people might be doing, but find a way to put a little twist on it to make yours just a little different so you stand out from the competition. And it's a little easier to do something that nobody else is doing because then you have no competition. So when you sit down and you write your business plan and the banks require you to list who your competition is, I get to write nobody.
Yeah. You know what? That's a tricky one because – I was so unsure when I started my speaking agency because there's a million speaking agencies out there and blah, 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 blah. But I was like, you know what, they're not catering to the people that I cater to. You know, all of these bureaus cater to big people. And I'm like, yo, what about speakers that are under $500 and or under $1,000 or under $5,000? And you know what the funny thing about it is, when I started my agency and I started Googling, I couldn't find anybody. So I questioned myself. I said, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong because I can't find anybody that's doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it actually held me up professionally because I was thinking, okay, I really must be, like, off because nobody's doing it. Like, if it was really a good idea, somebody would be doing it.
I got told that.
You did? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I went to SBA. Because I wanted a loan to kind of get on my feet. They were like, if this was going to work, somebody would have thought of it by now. Nobody else is doing it because it doesn't make sense. People laughed at me. They're like, where do you think you're going with those pies? I used to have a dream that I would have a fleet, like FedEx trucks. And so everywhere you drove, you would see, you know, little Grandma Secret van delivering pies and cakes. And people laughed at me. They talked about me. And even now I'll see people in the street and they'll be like, oh, you still doing them cakes? And I'll be, oh, yes, I am. Well, how's it going? Well, I bought a house. You know, I threw my daughter's birthday party in Paris, you know. Then they did their mouth drops open. They're like, wow, the cakes are doing that well. I'm, yes, thank you for asking.
Yeah, but you don't hear them saying.
Thank you for having bought a cake or a pie. Just thank you for asking because I did well without your well wishing.
Yeah, so, you know, I hate that, too, because they'll be like, I get people saying that, too. Oh, Saeed, are you still writing books? Well, what am I supposed to? But it's said in such a condescending tone.
Are you still working in that office typing? Say that.
Yeah.
And they'll shut up and leave you alone. I'm still filing papers for a living, and I'm not knocking anybody's hustle, but please don't knock mine.
Right. Yeah, you know what? I got one of my friends. I had an office when I first quit my job years ago when my younger son, who's now 14, Miles, when he was like 2 or 3, I quit my job, and that's when I decided I wanted to be self-employed. And my first office was not, you know, it was, my rent was $200 a month, and I just knew I was on it, you know, but the carpet was dingy, and my friend actually came to my place of business, and her nose was kind of tooted in the air, she said, "This is nice." And I was so embarrassed because it was almost like she had a stench. You know, she was like, and she breathed like it's, with such exasperation, like, "This is nice." And I just was so embarrassed. But hello, I'm still here, and you still, you know, and I don't knock anybody that works. You know, if you're people that listen to my show every day, I am the biggest cheerleader and encourager. But the reason we're focusing on entrepreneurs this week is because it almost has come back to a necessity.
Yes. You have to have multiple streams of income. And
baby,
I encourage people even that have a 9-to-5, not just for monetary purposes. It always helps to have additional income. But one thing that I've learned in this journey, because believe me, it's been a journey, is that, you know, you refer to the scriptures, and it tells you God gave everyone a talent, and some buried theirs in the ground, some took theirs and multiplied. They went to the market and lent money. And when the master came back, the people who had buried the money because they were afraid to use it had nothing but that. But the ones that had taken what he had given and they multiplied it and used it fruitfully, the master was very happy, and for them he added even more.
See, you came to the right show.
Every human being has a talent. God created each and every one of us. If you ever watch, like, Discovery Health Channel, and you see these, what they call idiot savants, I don't know what the politically correct term is these days, but these people are blind, they're mentally retarded, they can't tie their shoelaces, but they can play Mozart, they can play Chopin, they can take clay and make beautiful horses or sculpture, or they can paint, because no matter what's going on in your brain, your soul was created with the gifts from the spirit. So
you know,
every single human being breathing has a talent. And what happens is we don't exercise that creativity. We stifle it. And you know what? We end up with cancer. We end up with ulcers. We end up with high blood pressure. We end up with all kinds of diseases, to me, most of which are autoimmune. It's your body attacking yourself because you're not treating it properly.
Asthma
is autoimmune. Multiple sclerosis is autoimmune. It's considered lupus autoimmune. There's so many diseases that we bring on ourselves because we're not using our body, our mind, and our spirit for what it was created for. And you'll find that if your boss gets on your last nerve, but when you go home, you're in your studio painting, or you're sitting up at the computer writing your novel.
Yeah.
It gives you an outlet. You know that you're worth more than what they're paying you, that you were born to do more than sit at that desk. You'll find that all that stuff starts to roll off of you. So in addition to having extra money to pay bills, you start fulfilling your destiny. And the saddest person in the world is the one that has no dream. Isaiah said it. Jonah, I think. Without a dream, my people perish.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to have a vision. You know what? It also speaks to culture, and I'll tell you why. I've been babysitting my friend. She used to work for me 10 years ago. Oh, my gosh, she was 17 years old. She's now a mom, and she's got a little daughter who's 2 years old, and so she's such a dear friend. And when I moved last month, I moved in an area near her, so, you know, she's starting daycare, but it hasn't started. You know that last week of August is kind of like funny for kids, so I said, "Don't worry, you know, bring her over to me, we'll help." But anyway, When I look at someone like this 2-year-old, she puts on her boots. We had a laugh last night. She put on her rain boots, her galoshes, and her matching raincoat and her tutu, and she was ready to walk to the park. And I said, sweetie pie, we can't go to the park looking like that. Well, number one, it was too hot. But the point is, if she didn't have on, like, a slick raincoat and slick galoshes, and it was like 85 degrees yesterday, I would have let her wear it. But the point is, at that age, we're so creative, and adults stifle it. The first thing we say is, girl, you know you can't let your kids walk out the house looking like that. Or you know you can't let them. And that's them being creative. And if that's cultivated from 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 14 years old, who knows where we as adults could have possibly...
My mom used to say that all the time. She would see mothers in the park with a switch or a belt. And my mom was like, what are you doing? And, yeah, because I'm not tolerating this, that, and the other. And she would say to them, you see these young Jewish kids laid out on the floor in the supermarket or on the ground, and they grow up and they become your bosses.
Yep.
And you're beating your kids. You're beating all of the creativity out of them. You're stifling their personalities and who they are. She said, I let my daughter run wild and watch her.
Well, okay? You know what? It's
watch her.
There's two ways to look at that. And I just want to share. Yeah, I don't believe in that either. I just want to share Dropping Seed Radio. He's a pastor, and just shared the verse is Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, people perish.
Okay, Proverbs. Yeah, I thought it was one of the prophets. That's it though.
It's Proverbs 29:18. And anybody that listens to my show, I know what's in the Bible, but I can't. My skill is not remembering
the scriptures. Sometimes I'm off a little, but that's it. But out of vision, you will perish. If you don't know where it is you want to go in this life, that's like trying to drive to California without a road map. You better have TomTom or something.
Yeah.
How are you going to go through life and you don't know where you're going?
Well, that's the beauty of the Bible. It gives us such a roadmap. So I am just grateful. Thank you so much, Dropping Seed, that you shared the correct scripture. Because I never,
thank you for listening.
I never want to be the one to steer anybody the wrong way. That is never my intention. But the correct scripture is Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, people perish. But, you know, what I was saying about the little girl is that I did that with my children, and you know something, it has come back to bite me at times, but we have to encourage creativity. We have to encourage that free spirit, and that's why I prefaced what I was saying by culture, because our culture, black culture, sometimes can stifle it because of decorum, or you know we can't be acting like that in the street, or they can do it, but we cannot.
Mm-hmm,
but it's,
mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make sure that we're encouraging our young people, and like I said, I didn't let her wear that outside for practical purposes, just because it's too hot for her to go with a raincoat and galoshes, but the point is, maybe she'll grow up one day.
Be a fashion designer.
You never know. You never know.
I have, in October, on my radio show, I will be having my own, like, Living the Dream series, and I'll be inviting guests who are just outside the box. You know, there's so many people that are small businesses, but they kind of are in, I don't want to insult them and say in a box, but they kind of do the expected. Unfortunately, as African Americans, when we go into business, it's usually a beauty parlor, a barbershop, a funeral parlor, you know, something like that. And I'm not knocking any of those, but there are businesses that are so-called established businesses, or these are expectations of us. This woman is a black filmmaker. You don't see too many sisters behind the camera. I am so proud of her accomplishments. Her and her partner will be my guests coming up in October, and it's Washington Cohen, K-O-E-N Media, and the sister produces short films for Vice President Al Gore. You can't get any better than that. I am so proud of her. And there's other people that just are doing things that are outside the norm. So even when I talk to people about starting their own business, I encourage them to think outside the box.
Right.
To not just do what's expected, not go to beauty school. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you can do hair, by all means, one of my guest artists is a stylist to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And she does, like, Snoop Dogg's hair. You
mm-hmm.
know, you can't get bigger than that. I'm not
right,
knocking
right,
her.
Right.
But she also is a psychoanalyst. And he's a professor, adjunct professor at, in a city university, and she has her own life coaching business. So she does it all. But we have to think outside of the box. We have to have a vision. We have to decide. One of my upcoming shows will be about, you know, what business is right for you. And by that I mean buying a franchise as opposed to being self-employed. And then not, you know, I have one woman that runs a nonprofit agency. And the topic of that show is money or morals. What do you want? Do you want to get rich or do you want to be enriched? Do you want to change your bank account or change the world? So those are all the things to consider when you're thinking about being self-employed. What do I want out of this life, and what do I want my contribution to be? Now, my business is basically simplistic. The high end of it is I'm a cake artist. I create works of art out of sugar. But the morally enriching aspect of it is I bring joy to people because when you go to Pathmark or BJ's, you get a sheet cake with those big old flowers on it.
Your cakes are gorgeous.
I go into a person's psyche, into their soul, into their heart, and I create something that brings tears to their eyes. They remember being a kid, and their grandmother loved them so much, and she was the only one that would take that much time to make a cake.
Three
or 4 hours working on somebody's cake. And so then the person who ordered the cake will call me and say they sat there and cried. I have little kids that cry, and their mom called and said they wouldn't let me cut the cake because they said, Mommy, you're killing Nemo, or you're killing Big Bird, or you're killing I have brides call me, and they tell me that the guests wouldn't let them cut the wedding cake. They had to wait till after the whole thing was over, and then they just cut up cake and let people take it home. No one would let them cut that cake. And so I'm bringing joy. Am I changing the world? I don't know. But if I made somebody happy, who knows, they might have gone and given their, you know, employees a raise, or they might have gone home and been better to their spouse and their children. I don't know, but I do spread joy. And so that's my goal in this life, to make people happy, and that's how I choose to do it, by reminding them of being little kids and their grandmother's kids. And so, you know, you have to find what your creative spirit is, exercise it, and then find a way even to channel that creativity into a niche. So it's like a three-prong process. And so you might decide, okay, I'm good at this. I can design clothes. That little girl may grow up and be the next Bessie Johnson. And she might decide, you know, to create clothing out of plastic or rubber or something. Once you decide what it is you want to do, how are you going to go about doing it? How are you going to knock out your competition? What kind of twist are you going to put on it? I have a guest coming on in a few weeks that's ecologically correct. He takes dead tree branches and then twists them and works them into other mediums and creates works of art out of tree branches. And so he's going to talk about going green, whatever your business is, how to take it and make it better for the environment. Mm-hmm. And so that's his twist. He was on Oprah recently. And his work is beautiful. And so my radio show is blogtalkradio.com/grandmas secrets. It's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And so for your listening audience, if you stay tuned, you will see the lineup, and you get to hear all kinds of wonderful guests as they speak about how they took their small businesses from, you know, humble beginnings to where it is now. My guest tomorrow actually is global. He took his little company, and now he has overseas clients, and his blog is read in 41 different countries. I'm waiting for that point, you know, and he's going to be talking about risk management. But what's so cute is you know, he's a risk management consultant, but he calls his business what needs to go right. Too often, not just in business, but in all aspects of our life, we focus on what can go wrong instead of what needs to go right.
Right.
And that is such an important business tool. It's almost like you're in a relationship, and you're so worried this man or woman's going to cheat on you or leave you. So you're paranoid, you're insecure, you argue all the time, and you ruin the relationship over something that hasn't happened and may not happen. Instead of focusing on the good qualities of that person, well, in business, we tend to do the same thing. So we're so worried because other people are telling us, girl, you ain't going to make it. And, you know, what happens if your workers leave or they steal your recipes or whatever? And people used to put that in my head. Till I realized, you know what? These recipes aren't that special. My grandma had a little twist to them. But anybody can go on the computer or go to the library and look up a recipe. But can they run this business with the customer service that I offer? That's what makes my business successful. So instead of worrying about somebody wants to steal my recipes and put me out of business, I focus my energy on being the best apple pie maker and deliverer that I could be. And his show tomorrow is going to focus on that.
Well, I'm happy that we have another BTR host. You know, that's exactly what Dropping Seed is. But I want to read a couple of things that are being said in the chat room. Dropping Seed Radio says, I pray one day to be my own boss and influence my kids to do the same. And I responded, you know, I'm just that praying type of gal. Prayer? What? That's easy. I am so on that. So we're all going to come to agreement that that can manifest itself in Dropping Seed Radio's life. And the remix said, I've been doing my own business for about 2 years. She put, I love apple pies. I just want to ask, you know, you touched on two things, money versus morals. Can you tell me how you decided which you decided to do?
Like, to put it in a nutshell, like, I don't do bridal shower cakes. I don't get into the whole erotic thing. And I could make so much money because there's only one other baker in all of New York City that does it. It's not my flavor.
Right.
I make children's cakes. Parents take the kids to my website and say, pick a cake, sweetie.
Yeah.
But I can't have those things on my site.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in doing things like that. It doesn't bring honor to God, and it doesn't bring honor to myself. To me, maybe I'm just high and mighty, and forgive me, God, if I am, but when you're about to get married, that shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be on building a life together, not genitals.
Right.
I'm sorry. And so I don't get, haughty when someone calls me. I just refer them to another bakery.
Right.
And so I just chose to not make that kind of money. And so I've had fools call me and ask me, could I make marijuana brownies? I'm
wow.
I don't think so. But, you know, keep me in mind when you want a regular dessert.
Wow.
So it was just a matter, I guess, of my own moral standing, my own upbringing. I want to be proud of what I do. I want my family and loved ones to be proud. I never want to bring shame to myself. Or, you know, and so it was like very simple to just decide what I was going to do and what I was. I don't put alcohol in my desserts unless it's a rum cake, and that's just a cultural thing with Jamaicans.
Yeah.
The black cake is a wedding cake, but other than that, I'm not putting alcohol into anything. And so it was easy. With someone else, I think you just have to do soul searching.
Yeah.
What do you want to accomplish? And years ago, I read an Inc. magazine. It said, start your business the way you want it to end. And then and then grow into it. So if you know that you want to do this, and this is how you want your business to look 20 years from now, you start out doing it that way. And then
really?
I never tried that. I couldn't because I never knew how I wanted it to end. I've been in business 15 years and still don't know how I want the business to end. My boyfriend teases me all the time. He's like, you have more dreams than anyone I've ever met in my life. I was like, wow. It's like I never stopped dreaming. So now I have the business. I have my book.
Mm-hmm.
I have my radio show. My next step is because I do teach baking classes, and I'd like to produce
mm-hmm.
a DVD series and sell it like on QVC or something like that. I'm working on my second book, and so I have someone that's trying to produce a TV show for me because there's a dearth of African American chefs on any of the networks, and so he's trying to get backing, and so I'd have, you know, maybe a half-hour show teaching
mm-hmm.
cake making or cake decorating or pies or whatever. I could knock Emerald out the box as far as keeping an audience enthralled. And so, you know, as time goes on, I just want to spread my tentacles in whichever direction God takes me. So I don't know how I want to end, but I do know And this, you know, any one of you out there who are self-employed, you know, I said this on my own show, that, you know, the scriptures tell us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. But there's some times in that middle of the night when you know, weeping, you can't even think about, well, the morning's going to come and joy's going to come with it. You have to get through that night.
Yeah, and that's tough.
It is. And I think about, you know, oh, my God, I need a job, you know, later for these cakes. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And it's not easy. It's a hard road. But when I look at my accomplishments,
right, when you look
I realize
back.
That 15 years and I'm still doing this. I didn't, like, die out. Like,
yeah.
So many other companies are no longer in business. I have clients that got married. I did the wedding cake. I did the baby shower cake. And I do the kid's birthday every year. These people, I have a family of clients. They started out with me years ago, and they're still with me all these years later. And I realize I've built a following. That's not easy. Even in this climate, when people are struggling between, should I put gas in the car, should I eat, and they're paying me $200 and $300 for a cake.
Listen, I want to jump in very quickly. I just got a request. What's your website? Isn't it Grandma Secrets?
Yes, it's one S in the middle, GrandmaSecrets.com. You know, we be going to Grandma and them house. So it's GrandmaSecrets.com.
Okay, I just put it in the chat room because the remix wanted to know, but I didn't want to cut you off or I didn't want to interrupt. My husband listens to the show, and he's like, Saida, you have to stop cutting your guests off. So I'm trying to let them finish talking because I always have so many questions.
Okay.
So it's Grandma, GRANDMA, Secrets, SECRETS.com, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Let me tell you, I went to the website. Oh, my goodness. Those cakes, that's why I said we have a yummy guest. Get it? My play on words, y'all.
Thank you.
We have, oh, my goodness, wait till you see her cakes. I say click on the website because the cakes are so delicious. And you know what? I mean, the whole week we're talking to entrepreneurs, how they did it, but I want to get into very briefly because we're down to 20 minutes left in the show.
Okay.
I don't know where did the hour go so quickly. But how did you get, like, what was your testimony on starting your business? Like, what made you get up? Because I know my testimony. My testimony is I had to take my children to the dentist, and Daquan went, my oldest son, and I took Miles, and then all of a sudden the dentist told me, Saida, Miles is too little, and we're only taking, you know, he was like a year old. We're taking them next week. So I went back the next day, and I said, Mike, I can't, you know, I couldn't take Miles yesterday. I have to take Miles next week. And he looked at me and just went, okay. Like, and I said, you know what, I do not want to have to ask anybody to take my children to the boss, to the dentist if I don't have to. So my testimony, I saved up 6 months of paychecks, saved those babies up, cashed them after 6 months, quit, and then that's what I did. So that's my story, and everything else just kind of spins out from there. You know, I had some good years, some bad years, some years that almost led me to divorce court, but thank God my husband stuck it out. But based on that, what is your story on what made you become self-employed?
Well, I've always baked. I've baked since I was like 8 years old. My grandmother had a lot of grandchildren, and I was the most talkative one. They used to drive her crazy, so she'd give me chores, and since she baked continuously, she'd have me break open the coconut with a hammer and grate it for her coconut layer cake, peel the peaches, and then slice them for the peach cobbler, help her roll out the pie crust. So by the time I was 8, I could make a peach cobbler, a sweet potato pie, a coconut layer cake, and I always used to want to bake the desserts for our family meals. And as I grew up, I learned more and more recipes. I was baking wedding cakes by the time I was 10. But my mom, speaking of culture, drilled into me and, you know, understand that I needed a job. I needed a profession. She didn't want me to grow up and depend on a man for anything if I didn't have to, that I'd always be able to take care of myself just in case. And so I went to school. I wanted to be an attorney. I went to college, got my paralegal certificate, was getting prepped to go to law school, and still baking. And every Thanksgiving, I baked a couple of pies and a couple of cakes. It was just myself, my husband, and our daughter. And I had gained a lot of weight because I love to bake. And
you know what? Can I say something real quick? Can I say something?
Yes.
Ms. V in the chat room said, I have a serious sweet tooth, about 32 of them, and I do too. So I'm hearing you say you gain weight. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, a ridiculous amount. And so what happened was I started jogging to try to get some of the weight off, and I joined the New York Roadrunners Club, and after work, I would run couple of miles with a running group, and my coach kept telling me that he wanted me to do the New York City Marathon. I was like, you're out of your mind.
What?
But after doing enough running and getting enough encouragement and running longer and longer races, I decided I was going to do the dumbest thing I could think of and signed up for the New York City Marathon. So now I had
what?
A goal, and I had to – well, I've done four of them. I've done so many races. I I was about to turn 40, and I ran my first New York City Marathon.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
And did this race, came in, I think, 7 hours and 12 minutes, and I was so excited. When I crossed the finish line, I danced because they were playing music, and I was greeting other runners as they came in. I didn't want to leave.
Wow.
It was such a high. And at that point, I realized I could do anything I set my mind to. And it was such an unbelievable feeling. And so the next month they had a Christmas party for the Roadrunners, and we were all encouraged to bring desserts. In the meantime, one of my running girlfriends had gone to a bakery that no longer exists up here in Harlem to get a sweet potato pie, and the line was around the corner. I think it was Better Crust. And so I said, I got plenty of sweet potato pies. You can come get one. She said, why do you have pies? And I'm like, you know, because I bake. She came and got the pie. She put $20 in my hand, which I wouldn't take. She made me take it. When she called me the next day and told me how that pie was received, and I was like, you know, yeah, I know I can bake. Well, when we went to the party, she said, you have to bring your pies. And I bought the pies. And nobody ate anything else at that party. People had into mint and some donuts and, you know. And people said to me, how much do you charge? And I said, I don't charge anything. I do this for fun. They put money in my hand and said, when you come back to do your run next week, bring me a pie. So I walked out of there with like $100 in orders, and I was so tickled.
Are you serious?
And so I came back the next week, and people ran up to me and said, oh, my God, we heard about your pies, and they placed orders. So next thing I know, every time I came to do my afternoon run or evening run, I was bringing pies. So this girl that worked in the gift shop said to me, as good as these pies are, I know you know how to do more than just that. What else do you do? Oh,
mm-hmm.
I do German chocolate and coconut layer and strawberry.
Oh, yeah,
cake.
German chocolate.
And so she said to me, yeah, why don't you write a list and I'll start buying from you. And so I made a little list with a little check mark, and I thought I was cute. I was taking orders. Well, then I finally made up a flyer. Well, the cute thing was, because I was a paralegal and I worked long hours, I sometimes would have to get up in the morning and bake. So now I'm on the number 4 train. No, the C train or the A train, I can't even remember which. And I'm going to the office, and smelling up the train, apple pie, peach cobbler, people are sniffing, like, what is that? They're putting in numbers in my hand and saying, oh, my God, call me. I'd like to come pick one of those up.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm coming into the office every day with pies and cakes, taking long lunch hours to deliver, leaving early to deliver. The pies and cakes are taking up the office kitchen. They're all over my office.
Yep.
Getting phone calls at work. So God is so good because them fools fired me, and I got 4 weeks, 7 and 6 months unemployment. Don't tell.
See,
people are so
empowered.
We have to work, and we can still get a check.
You know what? I've heard people say that when they get fired, it was the best thing that ever happened to him. I have to say something. I got to get this in. We were chatting in the chat room while you were talking. And I don't know how many of y'all grew up like I did. I grew up with my grandparents, and my grandmother, she wouldn't even let me have a sip of water before dinner. Like, I would have to eat all of my food, then I can have water, then I can have dessert. And I think just from
food.
Yes, and I think from living with her and being under the, my grandmother's now 87 years old, who I just love. But the funny thing is, now that I'm like a quote unquote grown up, I swear to you, I eat my dessert first. We went to this place it's in Central Jersey. It's called, I think it's like, in the South they have Golden Corral, but we don't have those up here. It's like Old Country Buffet, but it's almost like a Golden Corral for those of you that listen and are in the South. It's like all you can eat for like 10 or 15 bucks or whatever it is. We took our boys Sunday. We took my oldest son and Miles, and then my husband and I went. So the four of us went on Sunday. Do you know I had it straight for the dessert table first? And my kids were like, Ma, you always say we can't eat dessert. I said, I'm grown. So my little fresh oldest son, who's 19, was like, well, I'm grown too. You know, he ended up not getting dessert first. But we're chatting in the chat room. Like Ms. V said, coconut layer, all sookie now, because we're all laughing and reminiscing on how when we were growing up, we all had to eat our food first. So I'm listening to you with these
cakes.
One of
my favorite is our strawberry shortcake. People. I tell them it's the ugliest cake they'll ever see. See, when you walk down the street and you go past a Greek diner or a deli and you see strawberry shortcake and it's in the window and it's on that thing that's turning around and it's got all those beautiful strawberries on, I'm like, that's not what my cake looks like. My grandmother would make a tea cake. It was like a giant biscuit. And then we'd soak the strawberries in sugar and then we'd make the homemade whipped cream. So when you look at it, you will never in your life see an uglier cake. But I guarantee you that you will take the cake box and put it up to your mouth trying to lick the strawberry juice off of it.
I don't doubt it.
Listen, it was about socket to me. Grandma wasn't there with the little tip and making sure that as a cake artist now, I have to make sure that my desserts are beautiful. But there's certain desserts that you're going to get. The peach cobbler is ugly. The strawberry shortcake is ugly. You understand? The German chocolate, the stuff is dripping all down the sides. It's ugly. The Mississippi mud cake is ugly. It looks like something you made in your backyard as a kid, but when you eat it, you'll remember going to visit Auntie and them in North Carolina as a kid.
Yeah, you are not. You are so right. We're down to, so I just checked check the switch.
Okay.
We have 13 minutes remaining, so that's good.
So I got fired, and I decided to launch into the business full time, and I had no idea how difficult it was going to be. Well, what saved me was I fronted. Okay, and I would tell people I'm only delivering until I can open a shop. And I was at ABA trying to get a business loan. We didn't own our house at the time, and they laughed me out of there, and the banks laughed me out of there. And so it looked like I wasn't going to open a shop. Well, my customers kept saying to me that as long as you deliver, we don't care what you do. We love the convenience of the delivery. And that's when I realized I had a niche. And I said, I'll never open up a bakery because when you're in a neighborhood, that neighborhood is your clientele. When you do what I do, I spoke on someone's radio show last night. And a guy called in from Yonkers. He said, oh, I'm sure you don't deliver here. I said, I deliver to all of Westchester.
That's not that far.
And Orange County. Long Island, all of New Jersey, and all of New York City. So
for everybody that's not from this area, what she's describing is probably like a 40 or 50 mile, not even, probably like a 40-mile radius of like Times Square.
Yeah, 100 miles out. Yeah, because actually the home that I now own is 97 miles outside of the city.
Right.
So when I deliver to New York, it's 200 miles round trip. But I bring
much
with me that, you know, it more than makes up for it. But that was my niche. And to this day, I'm still the only company that will deliver to your home, office, or party. What I did, because I couldn't afford a publicist, is I got on my grind, typed up my press releases, sent them out, bugged people till they were sick of hearing from me, and somebody wrote me up. So over the years, I've been in Black Enterprise. I've been in the New York Times, New York Post, the Daily News, Modern Baking. I've been on the Today Show, Good Day New York, the Food Network, a little bit of everything because I had no money. No one ever.
Right.
I tell people I started my business with $10 and 9 pies, and I've never gotten a dime from anyone. I built everything by the sweat of my brow, by trading. I'd get somebody a pie to make copies of my flyers. I'm making actually a cake this week for a person who's a DJ as a thank you to some other DJs, and he's not paying me in exchange. He's putting my advertisement on a teleprompter that's running till September 13th. That's
$1,000
of advertising. So even at this stage, 15 years later, I'm still bartering. You have to be smart. A lot of people get business loans. They open their business. A year later, they're out of business because they never learned what to do when you have no money.
Yeah,
and I know
I agree.
Without a dime.
You know what, that almost destroyed me. I did not know how to run a business with no money, and I wish somebody had told me. I'm writing this in the chat room right now. Hold on, everything.
What I have no money to put gas in the car.
How to run a business with no dang on money. I don't know how to spell dang on, so I just put dang-on. Because that's what cost me. And y'all know I'm so transparent. I took credit cards and opened up another one, and I had this plush office in New York, and I had staff, and I had payroll, and I had, baby, if I could have half of that money back now. Rule number one to all y'all business owners or aspiring business owners. See, I have to stop with the y'all. You know what's so funny? You know I go off on these little tangents. I'm from New York, lived in Atlanta, and moved back in New York. So I have a New York accent with a Southern slang. My mother was like, when did you start saying y'all? But anyway.
I have a Brooklyn accent that follows me everywhere I go.
Look,
I can tell you, when my car died, I was on the train with wedding cakes. I don't play.
Wow.
I wasn't going out of business. Okay,
I
didn't have the money,
everybody.
No car loan. Listen, I made it happen. I still make it happen. I cry a lot. 15 years later, you know what? I never opened a bakery. I'm still home-based. And I moved to a city where, like in New York, you can get in trouble for that. I moved to a town where that's a legitimate business. See, I made it happen.
But listen, I have a couple things. Oh, no, I want to add the people in the chat room. I put in capital letters, learn how to run a business with no dang on money. I'm putting out there.
You need to find out how.
Oh, look, TrueView Radio just hit us up and said, Creative Finances, NY Hustlers, I hear you. Baby, you better say it. Listen, why don't we all, you know me and my creativeness and innovation, God just talks to me. We all need to put a book together that's about how to run a business with no money, because that's why we're doing this whole week this week. That
no money,
destroyed
no problem.
Me.
That'd be the name of the book.
Learn how to run a business with no dang on money. Droppin' C Radio said he started a church with no money. Real Talk with Mocha said I started an event planning company with no money. And True View Radio is saying NY Hustlers, stand up. And basically, that is what almost, and when I say almost, that's why I tell you, it is by the grace of God that I am still here and not in bankruptcy, because I burned through so much cash. It's sickening. I'm not even going to tell y'all, because y'all would beat me down. All y'all people that started with no money. You know, I'm thinking we have to do this. I had an office, let me tell you, on 34th Street, right across the street from Madison Square Garden. My address was One Penn Plaza. That is right. I mean, I would see NBA players, people walking in, people drinking Starbucks.
That's like 898th Avenue, right?
It's on 8th Avenue, right, on 34th Street, right on 8th Avenue. Yes, and let me tell you, you had to be buzzed up to come upstairs, and I'm commuting into the city, and I am doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm saying I am doing it, and I've burned through so much cash. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Listen, when people want to meet with me, to do wedding cake consultations, I go to their house. I tell them we do in-home consultation, and they love the convenience of it. Baby, it ain't about convenience. It's about you ain't driving 97 miles to come up to my house. I still make the business run with New York City clients, and I'm 100 miles away, baking out of my kitchen 100 miles away. So it's about I had to figure out ways to, like Thomas Edison said, because it took him 99 tries to invent the light bulb. He said, I didn't fail 99 times. I found 99 ways that it didn't work. And every failure of mine is only a success in finding out how not to run my business.
Oh, I learned that now that I've burned through so much cash.
Yes.
But, you know, in the chat room, hold on, what does it say? Oh, TrueView Radio says low overhead. Yeah, well, I didn't do it that way. Y'all telling me this too, doggone late.
Low overhead.
Y'all should have told me that a minute ago before I moved to 110 plus. You know, the little pretentious diva that I am. Everything had to be done just right, and I'm an entrepreneur. Baby, if I could do
it, I would love to have a big shop on 125th Street and cater to, you know, the shopping strip that it is now. And when I look at $20,000 a month rent, I'm like, I ain't working that hard. I'm not making that many cakes to give that away. No, what I will do is buy a business one day, buy a building, put my store downstairs, and rent out the top two or three floors as apartments. I'll do a commercial investment, but I'm not paying rent to anybody.
Well,
you know,
real talk with Mocha said her dining room is her home office, and it costs her mortgage. You are so
everything off. I write off the cake bill because I tell IRS I watch the Food Network to learn things. I write off everything, all the electricity I use. Oh, I teach baking classes on the premises, so everything. You understand? Having a home-based business is wonderful, especially if you own your property. You know.
Well, I want to get this in True View Radio, so you're making someone else money. You know what? I have to speak to that because this week's shows are all about entrepreneurs. Let me tell you, what you just said, True View, is so right because everybody was making money off of Saida, but Saida. I had payroll, my rent, Starbucks, the New Jersey Transit that was driving me into New York City every day. Everybody was making money off of me. And like even my son and his girlfriend, I was paying them $10 an hour to help me with accounting. And I'm making nothing. I'm just making money. I said, you know what? This is some old nonsense right here. And I had to do some serious changes. But we are down to the last 4 minutes of the show. And I would like, if you could please, just give everybody your website, and then I'm going to do a wrap-up.
GrandmaSecrets.com. My publication is called Taking the Cake, and that can be found at TakingTheCake.com. It's the first and only book of its kind. It's the wedding cake guide for the ethnic bride. So your sisters out there that are getting married, hit me up on TakingTheCake.com. So wherever in this country you are, you can actually have a Grandma Secrets wedding cake because I give you all the instructions, the recipes, and the cake ideas. My show is blogtalkradio.com/Grandma's Secrets every Wednesday at 1 p.m. And for all of you out there, especially if you tune in tomorrow, hit me up in the chat room, call in. The idea of all of us putting a book together.
I love it.
I tell people I can teach the dope boys a thing or two. I know how to hustle.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dope boys got nothing on me. And for those of you out there who had struggled and are still holding on, we could put a book together. I already have a publishing company. I can get a cut rate on them because I self-publish. I refuse to give my rights up, which is what so many publishing companies wanted. And so I think we can do it because all of us have something to bring to the table.
Yes.
And the market out there is phenomenal, and we all have our niche. We have our client base. We can get the book sold. So I love your idea, even for people that aren't out of town. You invited them to come in and meet with you. The ones of us that are in town, we should all get together and start putting something together, even a magazine, you know, a Black Entrepreneurs magazine, you know, Black Enterprise exists in this one and that one. We could do, you know, a publication, a monthly newsletter or something.
Do something.
This potential out there, because it's about making money, multiple streams of income. Our grandmothers used to tell us never put your eggs in one basket. And with the price of eggs these days, oh, my God.
I totally agree with you. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. And to everybody who joined us in the chat room, let me scroll up. I just want to say to the Remix, to Dropping Seed, and everybody, we all have to stay in prayer for Dropping Seed Radio because he put it out there that it's his wish and his prayer that he starts up his own media company. And, you know, this show is really about encouraging people and keeping them focused and just empowering other people as well. So let's keep, you know, let's send out all positive vibes to the universe on his endeavor.
So please get in touch with me, and I will refer him to another brother who has a radio show called Jumping for Jesus. It's J. 94J Live Talk Radio, and he started his own media company. He actually has a television show. He's on broadcast radio plus blog talk radio. He does it all, young brother out in Ohio, and I will give him his contact info so he could even just have a mentor, someone who can tell him, this brother, this is how I did it. So drop
well,
him to get in touch with me.
All right, well, her show is tomorrow, so I'm happy that, okay, TrueView Radio at AIM.com. This is just so wonderful and juicy, juicy, juicy. I just got the 60-second warning, so I just want to say to everybody, oh, y'all, see, y'all know you're getting ready to mess me up. I have to say our closing prayer, and I'm not rushing, and I said I was going to stop doing that just because, you know, we can't do that anymore. But I just want to say thank you all. Thank you so much for listening. I love you for listening. And just know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. I'm out, and I'll see everybody tomorrow. Peace.